All right, time now for Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by our friends at Wheel Estate, Paul Waldo at Royal LePage, and Pizza Huts in Saskatoon. We're joined now by Steve Bryce, U of R Rams head coach. And Steve, I understand the appeal didn't go as planned with the Can West. Just your thoughts.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things that was happening behind the scenes, and if it worked out that we got the games back, we would have gladly taken the games because we earned them. But you know, we're going to go ahead and attack it as we're going to try to take care of business ourselves and win one at a time here.
Yeah, and I guess you approach this game in Calgary, a place that's a tough place to win for the Rams and for most teams. You got to approach this like a do-or-die playoff game, obviously.
Well, you do. We got a puncher's chance. We got some excellent athletes, and they're hungry and a little bitter. So I think they're going to go on the field and give them their best.
In terms of last week's game, what did you like from your game against Alberta?
Yeah, I liked our resiliency. I thought our guys hung tough and really showed what they're made of, played really hard for each other and with each other. And I think they just showed what this game meant to them.
You assess Seb Britton's performance for me? I thought he started out real well. And then, of course, I think the weather may have played a factor as the game went along.
Yeah, we were playing with a Priest Pig out there in the second half for football. So it was it was tough working on the aerial attack, but when it was a little drier, I thought Zab executed very well and stepped in and showed a great composure for a young quarterback.
You know, you got to try to look at the silver lining in all this, and I guess you're getting to see maybe your future or part of your future in meaningful game action, not in kind of cleanup or garbage time. You're still fighting for your playoff lives, and he leads you to a big victory last week.
Yeah, we're proud of that. I mean, it's a great opportunity for him to cut his teeth in live action. That's not going against, he's not playing on a scout team against first. So that was, those are definitely meaningful reps for him and very valuable.
So Steve, in terms of playing the Calgary Dinos, we know what they are in terms of their record. What do you got to do in order to knock these guys off? I know you had them by the short and curlies the first week and kind of let them off the hook. What do you got to do to seal the deal in Calgary?
We got to not make mistakes. We can't put the ball on the ground against these guys. I think we have a great attack plan. Our two coordinators put together an outstanding game plan for us this week. We just get to get on the field and execute and make sure that we hang on to the ball and do everything we can to disrupt them. And I think it's a simple game plan. Let's not make mistakes. If they're going to win this one, they better earn it, and we're not going to give them anything.
Good chunk of your job is motivation, Steve Bryce. So what is your speech to the guys this week? What's your message?
At this point in the season, there's very little need for that. I mean, these guys are gladiators, and they have that approach. They don't need a pep talk. They don't need hype. They don't need hot air. They just need an opportunity to focus on what's important and set goals for themselves and really stay within our system and only control the things that you can control.
Steve, thanks for this, and best of luck in Calgary, man. Hopefully you can make that last game of the season count here in terms of the playoffs.
That's our hopes too, Mike.
And this is Growing the Game, and joining me on the phone right now is Paul Waldo, of course, from our Rider Radio Network. But today, he's got his coaching hat on. He's the coach of the U of S Husky secondary, and you guys have a big game today against the Manitoba Bisons. Really, this is a game that could catapult you towards second place if you continue to win.
Absolutely. I mean, we haven't got off the right foot in the last couple of weeks here with losing back-to-back games, so we really got to come out and play Manitoba as a very athletic team. And obviously with the unfortunate circumstances with the Regina Rams, you know, those other teams like UBC and like Manitoba were catapulted essentially with an extra win on their belt there. So we got to make sure we come out and handle our business.
You know, the Rams feel they got screwed, and I think rightfully so. But you know what? In the process, I think the Huskies got screwed too, because the way it's looking now, UBC beats you guys. They're in the driver's seat for second place, where before they were on the outside looking in. And now, you know, you guys are kind of scrambling a bit, whereas if everything would have stayed status quo, that last game here at Mosaic Stadium, Rams and Huskies could have been for second place and home field advantage.
Absolutely. Well, that's exactly how it would have worked out. We're nobody to be, crying over spilled milk per se, obviously, in comparison to what the Rams are going through. But, yeah, essentially, you know, going into the bye week, UBC was 1-4, just lost to U of A, and I felt like they were kind of on a downward spiral. And all of a sudden, you know, within a few days, they got an extra win, and now they're fighting for second place. And obviously, they were able to do what they had to do to beat us. And same with Manitoba, a team we beat earlier in the year, once again, is catapulted with another extra win. And now we're in even more of a dogfight than we ever were, as opposed to just you know, continuing to grind it out and see what was going to happen in the last game of the season at Mosaic.
Now, this is weird for you. It's weird for you because you live in Regina, Paul, and you know a lot of people on the Rams. Your brother used to coach with the Rams. But you're also in the league. So as a guy that's in the league but a guy that lives in our town, how much are you cheering for the Rams against the U of C Dinos this weekend?
You know, I'm always cheering for the Rams. You know, always have I grew up around the program. You know, I was obviously, you know, close to even going there to play there. So as a local kid, obviously, it's, you know, you always want to side. The only time I don't support them is when they're playing us. But other than that, you want them to win. I mean, especially with the circumstances they've had now, it's not fair that they got to forfeit those wins for a clerical or an administrative error, whatever you want to classify it as. I think it's bullshit. So it's a terrible situation for them. So you hope they go and they win and they have a chance.
Yeah, Paul Waldo joining us here for Growing the Game. Now, Paul, before we talk a little bit of Rider action here, let's wrap up talking about your football team. And one guy that our colleague Perry Nias, his son Mason, we've talked about him at times. Whenever this kid comes off the bench, he gets things done. Just to assess his game last week, because I think his game, the stats lie. He had a touchdown and three interceptions, but I think the stats lie in that case.
Yeah, I mean he came in, obviously, it's tough enough to be a quarterback in the league, but to come off the bench cold, I mean, you know, he goes in there and he works us through a 75-yard play drive and we score a touchdown, right? I mean, you know, the interceptions, I mean, it's everybody. It's not just one guy throwing the ball. I think it starts there, but, you know, receivers running the proper route and making sure they get separation and sitting down in the zone that they're supposed to sit down and do the certain things that they have to do. And we're incredibly young in the receiving corps, and I don't think that really helped him out by any stretch of the imagination. But, I mean, the kid's got moxie. He's going to be a star in this league, and we're looking forward to seeing what he's able to do down the road.
Manitoba U of S matchup this weekend, and your first game against the Bisons was a very high-scoring affair in Winnipeg. Yeah. You guys came up with a victory, so are you expecting the same type of game?
Yeah, I mean, I hope not. you don't want to give up that many touchdowns, and like I said, I mean, a shootout, and you know, fortunate enough we were able to come on the good side, and we made some big plays on defense. Obviously, scoring one and, you know, three interceptions, I think, in total. But you want to be able to control the game, I think, and we're a team built, especially from an offensive standpoint, where we really try to control the line of scrimmage and pound the ball, right? So we're not really a high scoring over a short span of time. So our defense has got to make sure that we get the ball back, and we, like I said, control the game and come out with a victory.
Paul Waldo joining us here, of course, a regular radio analyst in the Rough Riders Radio Network, but he's got to coach the Huskies today, taking on the Bisons. Okay, let's quickly talk about these Rough Riders. I mean, what can you say about that Winnipeg game except yuck?
Yeah, yuck is right. I think, you know, it's you always want to be able to learn from a loss and kind of take and just sweep it under the rug, but I don't think you can do that, because I think what it did is it exploited our lack of production on offense, which I think we knew from the very beginning, but felt like was overshadowed by such strong and great play from the defense and the special team standpoint. So, you know, two out of three phases, I think, have essentially been making up for the one phase that you really need to come on, especially down the stretch. You know, it was tough, and, you know, people were complaining about play calling, and, you know, we're not running the ball, but, you know, essentially it's hard to run the ball when you're down 21 points in the first quarter or whatever it is, right? So I think it's a cause for a bit of concern, especially from a health standpoint, because, you know, you lose Darren Clark and you take, you know, arguably the best guard in the league, and Brendan Lamb, move him to the center, and then you indirectly, I think, affect that whole offensive line. You lose Bladick, he gets hurt. You know, Naaman Roosevelt and Air Jordan are in the lineup, and to me, those are really the only two guys that are threatening, that really scare you. And so you look at it, and it's a pretty average offense. And once again, I don't think that's going to get it done. So hopefully they can rebound and find ways to be more productive, because they're going to need it going into McMahon Stadium to a Calgary Stampeders team who I don't think has lost back-to-back games at home in probably 10 years.
Now, I'll tell you this, Paul. You need offense to win in this league, at least a bit of offense. I mean, the Riders have been outscored. They've been outscored this year, yet 10 wins. That's happened four other times in the CFL, and all four times those teams have failed to win a Grey Cup or make it to the Grey Cup. So the Rough Riders are going to have to find something here in terms of offensively. Like, if they could even score two touchdowns and get a field goal, they'd be in the mix.
You know, it's crazy because as a defense, your goal always, and professional, and even now with our kids, is always to hold the team 21 or less. That's the plan. that's the game plan. At the end of the day, you know, turnovers and this and that and the other thing, all you want to do is make sure a team doesn't score 21 points or more. You don't want them to score. And so it's interesting how we're talking about just scraping to get some sort of production where at least if they could score a couple of touchdowns. But once again, they're gonna have to find ways, because when they've been doing it, when they've been winning, it's because they've been scoring the touchdowns. It's just been in two other phases.
And average quarterbacking doesn't get the Grey Cup victories, because if you go back and you look at the last kind of average quarterback to get it done was Marcus Crandall in 2001 for Calgary, and they actually had an average offense. I wouldn't even call the Riders' offense average right now.
I mean, like I said, you know, women lie, men lie, but numbers don't. And you look at it just statistically, and you just look at what the total offensive yardage, and most of all, most importantly, is the production. And we're just not finding ways to score offensively. And that, once again, it can work at the beginning of the year, but at the end of the day, you just can't expect your defense and special teams to score multiple touchdowns a game. It's just not going to work.
Okay, lastly, they get Dakota Shepley signed, though, their first pick, who went to the Jets. Now,
absolutely.
how much or how long do you think it'll take for him to come here and be a factor?
You know, I think it's that's an interesting question, especially from an offensive line standpoint, because once again, just like anything, the adjustment to the game. He's a kid, thankfully, who's played, I mean, his entire collegiate career here in Canada, so he will be used to, you know, the 1 yard rule, and obviously, you know, having to pass that really high and essentially being out on an island if he does end up playing that tackle position or wherever they play him. But you know, I think he'll be able to come in and contribute, and obviously, he's a guy who's been in shape. You know, once again, it's not like he's a Canadian kid who's played in the States for the last, you know, 4 or 5 years and has to come up and adjust. So, I mean, they're going to need help. It sounds like Wadick's probably going to be out long term, and we obviously don't know the exact status of Dan Clark. So these two games, the playoffs, the postseason starts this weekend.
Lastly, it's very disappointing and very discouraging that people don't come out and watch university sports, university football. Like the Rams, they were drawing flies. I know the weather last week wasn't very good, but you know,
right.
You talk about Shepley, he played for the UBC Thunderbirds. There are so many great players in the Can West that we don't spend $20 to go watch, but we'll wait till they're in the CFL and spend $80 to watch them.
It really doesn't make sense, especially when they're going to need the support is when they're young. You know, once you get to a professional level, I mean, you know, you're getting paid to play. You shouldn't care who shows up or who doesn't. But as a kid, right, having your family and having, you know, students in schools and the community support you is an incredible thing. And I think that adds to, you know, a young football player's journey. And so it's sad that, you know, people won't come out and support their local teams, especially around here where you got teams like Regina and teams like the Huskies, or even, you know, going out to BC, have great players that are going to go on to be CFL stars.
Paul, thanks for this. Good luck today against the Bisons, buddy.
My pleasure. Take care, Baldy.
And that'll do it for episode 55 of Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by our friends at Pizza Hut in Saskatoon and the Concord Group of Companies. Also by Paul Waldo over at Royal LePage, the home realty experts. Give him a call at 306-502-5355. And brought to you by Wheel Estate. If you have a travel trailer you want to rent out next camping season, or you want to rent one, check them out online at wheelestate.ca, and all their rentals backed by a $1 million insurance policy. If you have a story idea you want me to pursue, or you want to sponsor this podcast, check me out at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. That's my email address. And if you want to listen to me, I'm Monday to Friday each weekday morning on 104.9 The Wolf FM in Regina, and also on the pregame show and postgame show on the Rough Rider Radio Network on 620 CKRM. Talk to you next time.